Well, thank you. I got a hurried call from John saying, "Aren't you speaking today?" And I said, "I didn't know." And I said, "Well, I sent you an email." The problem was that, as far as my daytimer is concerned, I use a hybrid system, electronic, which we all are familiar with, emails and texts and so on. But I transfer that into the written form in my daytime. So using a hybrid form sometimes causes a problem, and that is evident this morning. I forgot to put it in my daytimer. And so I do apologize for my late arrival, but your singing was nice. That was good. That was very good. So I appreciate that very much. The invitation to speak this morning. Now, as I say, I didn't have a message particularly prepared for you this morning. But I think the Lord has something for us this morning. Thoughts that I have had recently, and so I'm going to share them with you from the book of Leviticus. Now, some of you who perhaps new to the faith or new to reading your Bibles, you might find that a mysterious portion of Scripture. A lot there that maybe doesn't have direct application. Hopefully this morning we can draw out some of those things, because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. So we're going to look at, I think, some things that might be profitable to us in this rather obscure book that was written for the priests. Now, again, how many priests are here today? Well, every one of you who has been born of the Spirit of God has been made a priest of God. And we are both royal priests. In other words, a royal priest would be the ones who teach the law to others, to preach the gospel, to give your testimony. That's a royal priesthood that every one of us has. And then there's also the spiritual priesthood, where we offer up our prayers and thanksgiving to God, made acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So both witness and in worship. The book of Leviticus would give us information that would help us as Christians in our daily walk with the Lord. Let's read then from chapter 2 and read for our introduction the first verse. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. Let's look to the Lord briefly for his help this morning. O God, our Father, we do approach you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the Scriptures speak. And we pray, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord, you would speak to us through these Scriptures. Help us, Lord, to understand something of him this morning and our responsibility to him and to you. So we pray, Lord, that you teach us this morning again. We depend upon the work of the Holy Spirit on the pages of Scripture to shine into our hearts that we might understand and obey. So we give you thanks now, Father, and we ask your blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There were five offerings. There was the trespass offering, where someone who sinned against his brother could offer a sacrifice to the Lord, and it was always a trespass offering came with restitution. In other words, you have harmed your brother, therefore there must be restitution for that. Then there's the sin offering. The sin offering was one done in ignorance to the Lord. And then you would bring your offering to the Lord in repentance. For Christians, our approach to God, and that's what these offerings are, they're how we approach God. First of all, we need to confess our sins. Every one of us, no matter who we are, where we are, whatever time we might find ourselves in, we know that the old nature is active and in rebellion against God. And so whenever the old nature manifests itself, we call that sin against God. Whether it's a glance at some article which we would desire, that even that in itself is a barrier now to complete fellowship with the Lord. For others, it might be lust or some other thing. Whatever it is, if we're going to approach God, we need to bring a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for us. He paid the penalty in full for our sin to allow us to come into God's presence holy and righteous before him. And so that's the first thing in our approach to God is through the sin and trespass offerings. If you sinned against your brother, you must make it right with your brother. If you sin against God, and all sin really is against God, things have to be made right. And the only way we can make it right is through the sacrifice of Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when you approach God, first of all, we must confess our sins. And there's no one, as John says in that same portion in his first letter, there's no one that sins not. We all sin. So we can't just burst into God's presence without acknowledging what we are. And we need to be cleansed in order to stand before his holy throne, and he's made the perfect provision for that in Christ. But then the next sacrifice was the peace offering or thanksgiving offering. This offering also was with blood. There was a sacrifice. That sacrifice was an animal that was brought to the Lord, and it was divided up. God had his portion, the priest who offered it had his portion, and the offerer as well had his portion. It was a greater portion. So he would invite his friends and his family, and they would then eat. They would eat that sacrifice in the courtyard of the temple or tabernacle. And so it was a fellowship, this idea of fellowship. First of all, cleansed, sanctified, and then fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to give thanks to the Lord in the midst of our brothers and sisters and with the Lord himself. And so that the peace offering or the thanksgiving offering is one then where God has his portion and he's eating at the table with the offerer and the priest who has his portion as well. So that's the thanksgiving offering. And again, that the basis of our fellowship is the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that the fellowship then is dependent upon that sacrifice. It's not dependent upon anything else. It's the sacrifice that was made there on Calvary. He's made us, he's joined us as one in a body and also one with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through him to God himself. So that's the third sacrifice that is made in the approach to God. All the while, the believer is moving in out from the outside to inward. And the innermost sacrifice was the burnt offering. The burnt offering, which was the first offering, and I've just skipped over the one that we're going to look at in a little more detail today. The first offering was the burnt offering. And that burnt offering was given entirely up to God. There was nothing for the offerer. He didn't come for any other reason than that he wanted to give God his all. And there was nothing for the offerer, as well as there was only one thing for the priest, and that was the skin. The offering is where Christ offered himself up without spot before God as a worship. When we worship, the idea of thanksgiving is left behind. Worship is where we are completely taken up with the person of God himself, where we're quiet in his presence, not occupied with our blessings or our needs, but with him alone. That's the burnt offering. And that's a sweet savor offering. Yes, it was burnt on the burnt altar. It went up to God as a sweet smelling savor. So the life of the Lord Jesus was a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was that life that was given up to God in death. So now we come to the meal offering, as it's called in the Old King James, or the grain offering. That's probably better for us to understand. The grain offering. If anyone offers a grain offering, anyone, it wasn't a result of need to confess sins, because this offering was a bloodless offering. There was no sacrifice of blood. The idea of sin is not here. Because with all the other offerings, there needed atonement to be made for the offerer. But not in this one. This is different. It's probably the least understood of all the offerings. First of all, grain, when we think of grain, that really speaks of life, doesn't it? Man shall not live by bread alone. In many parts of the world, bread is not the staple. It might be rice, as it is in the East. It might be potatoes, as it might be in the Andes or in Ireland. Or it might be some other, in Africa they have a staple there that they use, it's called ntuma, which is a tasteless portion of that supplies all the carbohydrates they need to work in their fields. But for us, worldwide, more or less, the bread is our staple. It represents our life. To Adam, God said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat bread. That is to sustain physical life until you die. So the grain speaks of life, not death. But notice now, it says this grain offering had to be a very fine flour. Now, what is the process? As I spent some time farming, and I witnessed firsthand the threshers. They used to hire the threshing crew would come, and the smaller landholders didn't have their own equipment. They would hire these threshing machines to come and the threshing crew. And they would thresh the wheat after it had been harvested and stooped and dried and ready for harvest, after the heads had firmed up. And then the threshing is a very violent, really, process, where the husk is separated from the grain. And if we think of the Lord Jesus himself now as the bread of life come down from heaven, he too was thrashed. The violence that man did to him in his life, we're not talking about his death, because this is a bloodless sacrifice. This, in his lifetime, he faced continual opposition, determined opposition through his lifetime. Not only from man, but from Satan himself. And so the Lord Jesus was threshed. Then the grain is taken from there and it's winnowed. It's separated. It's in the old days, they would use forks, throw the grain in the air, and the wind would carry the lighter husks to one side. The grain would then fall and they would gather that together. So there was a winnowing. And then there was the grinding. Two great millstones in opposition would grind that grain to a fine consistency. And then it would be sifted. And this all speaks of the life of the Lord Jesus. That in his life, he faced the grindstone. He faced the winnowing. That life was perfectly exposed in the four Gospels. As you read the four Gospels, you get to see him under every circumstance. And that life was revealed to the finest grain. It was open to scrutiny, not only by man, not only by Satan, but by God himself, who could witness and say, "This is my beloved son, that fine flower." There was no inconsistency in him. Everything was perfect balance. There were no lumps. Like in your life and mine, there's a lot of unbroken lumps in our flower, in our lives. There's a lot of inconsistency. There's a lot of cracked wheat still to be refined and so on. But not the Lord Jesus. He was the fine flour. Then it says that you shall pour oil on it. That oil was poured. Now it doesn't say how much. In other offerings, it tells exactly how much oil should be put into an offering. But not here. There was oil without limit. There's a scripture in John chapter 3 that says that the Spirit was given to him without limit. The oil was poured on that fine flour. And the frankincense. Of course, the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Then there was the frankincense. That frankincense is a picture of the graces of our Lord Jesus. Frankincense on the fire when it's burned smell is a beautiful smell. There's hardly any other odors like it as pleasing to the mind of man than frankincense. And that was like the life of the Lord Jesus. It exuded the perfections of his beautiful character. There was nothing like it ever. And notice that it says, "You shall put incense on it." And in the second verse, we read, "And he," that is the offerer. Now, again, it's anyone. If anyone wants to make a grain offering, they could do it, but they would prepare it at home. Now that speaks to us as priests. If we are going to worship, and that's what the grain offering is, a sweet savor offering as well as the burnt offering and as the peace offering is. When we worship, it's the life of the Lord Jesus that we have in mind. We serve, we meditate during the week as we walk, as we witness, as we live. He walks beside us. Is that your experience? Do you ever ask yourself as you go about your daily business, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, you could scour the four Gospels. You could probably find a very applicable example of it, of how he would react according to the need. That is the frankincense. He was always perfect. To God, he reacted to every circumstance in perfection. God could say at the beginning and at the end of that life, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He had demonstrated the love and the grace of God during his lifetime here on earth. So we read that in verse 2, that as the offerer would prepare this at home beforehand, then he's going to bring it to the priest, all prepared. Worship. If you're involved in worship, and we have the opportunities when we break the bread to worship, we have the opportunity to prepare ourselves for that. If everybody prepared themselves and brought their handful of fine flour to the worship service in the morning, it would transform our worship entirely. Because many people come to the worship service to get. And that's not the purpose. The purpose was that it was all given up to the fire of the altar, and the priest got the rest, not the offerer. So it's not that what we get from worship. A lot of people come, they say, "Well, I really got something out of the worship service." That's what you would get is what you give. So then we read verse 2, "He shall bring it to Aaron's son, his offerings." He's prepared now, the priest, "one of whom shall take from his handful of fine flour and oil and all the frankincense, the oil and the frankincense was for God, all the frankincense, which meant there are fragrances I think that God alone can appreciate. Now the offerer may get secondhand smoke, you might say, but as it went up to God, there may be a residual for the offerer. But it was meant all for God. God alone, the Father, can appreciate the fullness of the glories of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "The priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And the rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire." And so the grain offering, in short, is the picture of the human nature of the Lord Jesus lived out on earth. There's no thought of death here. The burnt offering has the idea of offering up in death, whereas the grain offering has him offering up his life. And that's really what you and I, should be doing with our lives. "I beseech you, brethren," Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, brethren, by the tender mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service." It's reasonable worship. You can offer yourself up to God in worship. "Here I am." Not necessarily in service, that will follow, but worship first. Now, there were some things that are applied here. In verses 4 to 9, and we won't linger long on it, there were three other aspects to the offerings. There was the offering of the handful of fine flour, but then in verse 4 we read, but if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be of the unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It's a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. The priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. So there are really four grain offerings. There's the raw flour offering, which we covered that. But there were some that were prepared at home in the oven and in the pans, frying pan and so on. They make cakes and so on. And they were brought in. And that, of course, speaks of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on here on earth. The sufferings of Christ, not only in his death, but also in his life. Think of Gethsemane, where he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground when he was gripped with the awful prospect of having to be made sin, coming into contact with your sin and mine, to be made sin, to be made a curse. And that was in his lifetime. He suffered to the point where he said, I'm almost ready to die. An angel had to be sent to strengthen his physical frame, or he would have died in the garden physically. His frame, his human frame, could not sustain the stresses that were put upon it. There were other times where he groaned. He wept over Jerusalem. He came to his own, it says, and his own received him not. How disappointed was he in that? It was a bona fide offer of the kingdom to the nation, which had been long prophesied, but they rejected him. Have you ever suffered rejection? Have you ever suffered broken hopes, dreams that have been broken and put aside, disappointments of life? Well, the Lord did. Because we read there in one of them, in verse 5, he says in verse 6, you shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. Broken in pieces. So there was the fine flour baked. Suffering. Then it was broken in pieces. It's as though the Lord Jesus himself, his hopes for the nation had been discarded through their unbelief. He was disappointed in his disciples. There are places where he couldn't do many works because of the unbelief in the certain areas where he was ministering. He was disappointed. And we all understand this, the disappointments of life. But Jesus then understands. You know, we forget that. Sometimes in our disappointments we say, well, you know, he was the Son of God who came down from heaven. He knew all things. Nothing ever bothered him. No, he wasn't a impermeable stainless steel Christ. He was a full man that understood implicitly the human condition. He was broken up about the rejection that he had among men. Just a couple other things here in verse 11. No grain offering which you shall bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. You shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. Just a few comments on that. Leaven always speaks of sin and the working of Satan. Sin, where sin or leaven puffs up the grain, makes it bigger than it seems. That's the pride of man. And so when we come to offer, don't say in your soul, "My, wasn't that a lovely prayer?" Yeah. There was a story of a preacher, and he was holding forth one day, and he finished his preaching. He came down from the pulpit, and someone met him and said, "My, that was a wonderful sermon." And the preacher, already humbled, said to him, "Yeah, the devil already told me that." Yeah. You know, we can be proud in our what we offer to God. Like Cain, the first murderer. He was so proud of what he had brought to the Lord. But it was an abomination to the Lord. No leaven with it. In humility, we present not ourselves to God. We present the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no honey. Honey speaks of a natural sweetness. There would be no, it's not of nature. You know, some people have really nice personalities, and I wish I was one of them. But they naturally speaking, they're just very attractive. But that is not spiritual worship. The old nature needs to be completely done away with. No honey in the sacrifice. And then it's all burnt upon the altar. And it all goes up to a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. And the Lord gets his portion. Those are some thoughts this morning on the grain offering. May we be encouraged as we meditate further on God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do bless and thank you for all your grace, your goodness to us. Lord, why you would send your Son, the Lord Jesus, we can only imagine. From eternity past, he was sent. Even before the foundation of the world, already the plan was put forward that he would come. Oh, Lord, as we view that grain offering, how beautiful that is, that fine flour mixed with oil, a life completely dedicated to your glory. So, Father, help us too, as we would apply these few thoughts to our own lives, for your glory's sake and our blessing. We thank you now in the name of our Lord.